thanks for listening to the Braves Craze podcast. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to follow the Braves Doctor on Twitter at Dr. Braves.
Hello and welcome to the Braves Craze podcast. It is March 17th, Friday afternoon, and you have reached the show you're looking for. This is the Braves Craze podcast, as I mentioned. Welcome to our show and thanks for tuning in. If you will, please give this podcast a follow or subscription on your favorite podcasting platform. Go ahead and give me a review, a like, I hope, if you will, and that will be appreciated very much. But again, if you'd subscribe to this podcast, it would be really, really appreciated. So we're going to talk about spring training today. It's been kind of a dull spring, not much going on for the Braves. They're underperforming a little bit in spring, not winning many games. Of course, wins don't matter that much. We're going to talk about some individual guys' performances here and what they're doing. That's the bigger story, I guess, of who's hot, who's hitting, and a few other things, including the WBC. But let's get right into spring training first. Again, the Braves' record is not very good in spring, but they have had some guys playing pretty well. Got to start with Matt Olson. Matt Olson, before today, was hitting .440 with four homers in 25 at-bats. If I'm not mistaken, he's hit a couple more homers today. So he is absolutely killing it, raking in spring. You got to hope Matt Olson is a little bit better than he was last year. He wasn't bad last year, but he was very, very streaky. The power is legit. You kind of wonder about the average. He's been a .240 or so hitter the last couple years, including last year for the Braves. But you hope the shift, the new rules doing away with the shift, is going to help Matt pick his numbers up and maybe have some more hits this year. But so far, spring training, he is on fire. Have to talk about Vaughn Grissom and the battle for shortstop. Vaughn Grissom is, at this point, basically assured to be the starting shortstop in my mind. He came in today hitting .321 with 28 at-bats, doing pretty well out there at short. Ron Washington, as we know, has raved about Vaughn's defense and the way he has worked and improved and gotten better there, how coachable he is. So you got to love hearing Vaughn Grissom and those stories of him doing so well there. Want to also mention Braden Shoemake, who is the AAA minor league guy the Braves picked in the first round a few years back. Braden probably would have gotten the call last year instead of Vaughn Grissom because he was further along if he hadn't been injured. Braden is hitting .292 with four runs batted in the spring, which is pretty good for a guy who hadn't hit a whole lot. Braden's glove is probably the best infield glove in our system, at least from the minor league areas as well. And you got to figure he's probably ahead of Vaughn Grissom defensively at this point in time. Certainly Vaughn's bat is much more potent. But Shoemake's a guy that's intriguing to me. You know, I would be very surprised if Vaughn Grissom weren't the starter. But I wouldn't be shocked if Braden didn't crack. I wouldn't be shocked if Braden did crack this team. My guess is he starts at AAA. But I think you'll probably see Braden Shoemake with the Braves this year, unless there's some sort of deal made to move him out, which I wouldn't think would happen, knowing that we need depth in the infield, shortstop in particular, behind Vaughn Grissom. So you've got Orlando Arcia, who's also in that mix for shortstop, but he has not hit much in the spring. I'll be honest, I'm not an Arcia guy. He was at one point a big prospect for the Brewers. He's 28 or so years old now and no longer a prospect. So Vaughn Grissom, probably a guy who's not going to be – I'm sorry. So Orlando Arcia, probably a guy who won't be in the mix to start. You figure he may be on the bench, but I do want to talk about that bench in a little bit of how we need to upgrade that bench, in particular utility-type guy for the Braves. So that's the shortstop rundown right now. Ozzie Albies back in the lineup at second base. He was coming off an injury to end the year, as we know, and was DH for a bit. Now he is playing second and looks fine. So Albies should be fine in that order as well. I've seen a good bit of Travis d'Arnaud playing in spring training, some DH, but getting some at-bats. We haven't seen a ton of Sean Murphy, our new catcher we traded a lot for. His stats so far show he's had just 15 at-bats, hitting just .200. So not really sure why we're not seeing a ton of Sean in spring. I'm sure you want to keep your catchers fresh, but Sean Murphy has not played a lot and not looked particularly good when he has played. Austin Riley, third base, has been hitting just fine. Started off kind of hot. Hasn't hit a ton of late, but he's still in the mid 200s, I think. I think he was up with 300 for a bit, but now I think that's come down a bit. But Riley's doing just fine. We've seen Michael Harris out there playing in the outfield and looks good, ready to go. Acuna also looked pretty good early on. Now he has left to play for Venezuela, as you know, in the WBC, World Baseball Classic. So Ronald has not been with the team and will be away for a bit more. But I do think the outfield looks ready to go. I want to talk about left field. That's the one place that's not really ready to go because we don't know who's going to be out there. We know the Braves have Eddie Rosario and Marcelo Ozuna, the two veterans, who are both kind of controversial. We know the Rosario story of not being able to see, needing corrective vision surgery last year, and he never really hit much. He has got 15 at-bats in the spring, hitting a gaudy 133. Obviously, that's sarcasm there, not hitting much at all at 133. Ozuna, on the other hand, is hitting 273 and driven in four in the spring, and we've heard some people saying he looks like he's coming around. A lot of talk about Marcel and his future with this team. A lot of people wondered would he be cut. Brian Snicker made the comment to say he would make this team, Ozuna that is, to start the season. You got to figure Rosario will as well. We know left field and the DH spots are sort of unmanned. We don't know who for sure is going to be in those spots. We got to figure Rosario is the starting left fielder, at least in a platoon against righties. We got to figure Ozuna will get some time at DH. I have fussed a little bit, and I'll probably do it again when we get done here with the spring roundup or spring rundown of who's doing what about William Contreras and his ability to have played the DH and made that role sort of a done deal, but that's no longer the case, so we've got to figure out something at DH. Ozuna at 273, I'm not buying it, folks. I don't want Marcel in the lineup. I don't think he's earned the right to play consistently. He's been off the field a problem. He's been on the field a bit of a problem, not performing. I don't trust this with Ozuna, and I don't really know where that's going to go. We wonder if Marcel will be let go at some point during the season. If he doesn't perform, you can't say that just yet. But Ozuna right now looks like he'll be probably every day or at least in a platoon spot at the DH role and maybe a little bit of left field. Then you got to figure in Sean Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud at one at catcher, the other at DH. Some, I don't think that's going to happen as much as we announced that it was or said it was, where one would DH and one would catch. I think you're going to want to give your catcher a day off when he's not catching and not DH him all the time. So, and that's also assuming both those guys are going to hit. I think d'Arnaud is established himself. He's a pretty good hitter. He's not a game changer with the bat, but he's a intangibles guy catching with the bat, a clutch hitter. Murphy, I just don't know what we're going to get with the bat from Sean Murphy. I give it that Sean Murphy's a very good defender. He's a good athlete. He has upside to improve his hitting, but he's never hit much over 240, 250 in his career. I think he hit 250 last year, was his career high for a season. Got some pop, some extra base pop with the doubles. But consistency seems to have been a problem, and that Braves lineup now, consistency is becoming a problem in my mind across the board. So we'll come back to that in a second. Let's mention the other outfielders, though, in the mix here. Sam Hilliard is a guy we got from the Rockies. He's hitting 367 with a homer. Lefty bat, a little bit of speed. I like Sam a lot. I like what he can bring to the table. He's hit a home run, driven in seven in the spring. Also, Eli White has made a big impact. I think we signed him as a free agent, I believe, from Seattle. I'm not sure if that was his last team, but I know that maybe there or Houston won. He's hit a cool 429 with three homers and seven batted in for the spring. So White the RBIs may not be correct, but the homers is three for sure with 429 average. He's been great. And then we know we picked up Jordan Luplow, formerly of the Diamondbacks, play some outfield as well. He's only had 10 at-bats coming off an injury with a 300 average. So I like all three of these guys, honestly, and frankly, my favorite might be Eli White of the group. I believe Eli is a right-handed hitter. Hilliard bats from the left side. So those two guys will be my two favorites. They could do a nice platoon job in left field, I think, for us if need be. Luplow is also a decent option with some power, but I'm less inclined to be high on Jordan and more inclined to be high on Hilliard and White at this point in time in my mind for this team. You know, sure would be nice to have Adam Duvall back right now, who is patrolling center field and looks to be the everyday center fielder for the Red Sox right now. But Hilliard and White are two guys with a little bit of upside. They're both not super old. I believe they're both below 30 and could make some impact for us. You got to figure Luplow may be one of the guys to make the team with the way we treated the signing of him. But we will see how that works out. I mentioned those are the backup outfield bench spots potentially if we do assume that Rosario and Ozuna start, which I don't know that I hope that happens, but that may be where we're at. The backup infielders, Orlando Arcia, you got to figure has a good shot. Braden Shoemake also is a guy that I like a lot to make this team at some point in time. I doubt he breaks with this team, but I bet we see Braden this year. You know, if Grissom struggles with the bat, you figure Shoemake comes up. He can handle the spot defensively now easily. Arcia is a veteran put in there as well. So those are guys that probably have a shot at making this team either from the get-go or at some point in time down the road this year. Adani Echevarria was a guy we picked up who is a former utility guy who was sent back to AAA along with a few other pitchers we'll talk about in a second. But, you know, I wonder would the Braves try to find a guy. You know, Alex Anthopoulos is really good about looking at free agent guys that maybe get cut or don't make rosters that are going to AAA as a utility guy. You know, I was watching the Rays-Braves broadcast yesterday, and I saw them interview Charlie Culberson for the Rays. Having somebody like Charlie back for our team would be wonderful. Charlie's a guy that can play a bunch of spots, can play outfield as well, a bunch of infield spots. You know, having Charlie Culberson back on this team, if he were to possibly get let go, and I'm just completely speculating here, would be wonderful. But a guy like that, would be a nice addition to this team. So we'll see what happens there, but I suspect Alex will scour that waiver wire, who didn't make the roster club thing, and maybe swing a trade or a signing possibly to shore up that bench, because that bench, in my mind, is a bit of a weakness, and we'll have to see where that goes. But I do love Hilliard, I do love White in those roles, and Luplow to some level as well could be a nice bat off that bench. Going back to pitcher now, so the Braves have their top three starters hopefully ready to go. Well, two of them anyway. Max Fried has been pitching, looks fine. Spencer Strider looks fine as well. And then Charlie Morton pitched, I believe, yesterday and you know, didn't do that great, but looks to be healthy. So that's three guys. Kyle Wright and Mike Soroka are banged up. Kyle Wright is yet to make his debut, unless he just did. He was hurt and did not get to pitch through spring, and Soroka now with some hammy issues and all kind of stuff going on is not going to make this team, I don't think. He's probably going to start the year on the injured list, which is not what we wanted. We want to see Mike out there. I think Mike is still struggling with other injuries now, coming off the two Achilles problems and the big deal there that he had. I think the rest of his body just needs time to get strong again, so I hope Mike will be ready to go and be up there in that fifth spot at some point in time. Kyle Wright hopefully will break with this team and be in that third role. I think he's the number two or three starter. Really, he's the two to me. I think it's Fried, Wright, Strider, and Morton in that order. But whatever reason, everybody is lifting up Strider to that number two spot and talking about him as an ace. Look, I love Spencer Strider. I am not hating on Spencer Strider at all. I think he is going to be a future star for this team, but I'm not so sure I'm ready to make him jump Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright led the National League in wins last year. Kyle Wright was phenomenal, and I think Kyle Wright will be phenomenal. A lot of folks are down on Kyle. I am not. I'm up on Kyle Wright. I think he's a good pitcher with a good arm, and I want to see him thrive. He's a great story. Struggled for a couple years before he really took his role in this rotation, but I'm high on Kyle Wright. Unlike some who were not this year. I'm not low on Strider. I'm certainly high on Strider, but I think Kyle Wright is a better developed, poised pitcher so far, and Strider has the electric fastball, and I think he's a future Cy Young guy. But I think Kyle Wright is being overlooked a lot this year for sure. And I think Strider's going to have a big year too. I do. I think Spencer's going to get better and better. But don't sleep on Kyle Wright, folks. He's ready to go, and we'll be ready to go, I think, once he gets well from this little injury and gets some more innings in the last couple weeks of spring. So that leaves kind of one spot still for this team. We all thought that one spot was coming down to probably Mike Soroka, and I just told you he is not well, not healthy. Then we figured Ian Anderson and Bryce Elder were the next two guys in line there. They were both optioned to AAA a few days ago. Anderson, not totally shocked. They want to get him some more time in AAA to figure out where he was, get back to where he was. Elder, though, had pitched pretty well, and I really thought Bryce Elder was the guy that might get that role. That is not going to happen. He pitched in a game the other day. I forget who they were playing. The wind was blowing out, and a few hits. The Braves scored 15 in that game, and Bryce was not sharp, but again, the conditions were pretty tough. But that sort of leaves two guys now who would both be rookies making their Major League debut if one of those two guys won the spot. Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster. So, Dodd has been tremendous. He has shot up our prospects list as a left-handed pitcher and starting pitcher. And then Jared Schuster is our number one prospect right now. Now, again, our system is depleted. I don't think Jared's number one on many systems, but he is our number one. And he pitched today and looked great. I'm sorry, yesterday and looked great. So Schuster or Dodd, one of those two guys, probably breaks as the fifth starter right now. If I had to take bets, and I'm not a betting guy, I would probably go Schuster. But I wouldn't be shocked to see that Flip and Dylan Dodd get that role. It probably comes down to who pitches the best over the next 2 weeks between those two guys. So a little bit of excitement and a little bit of surprise there with that fifth starter role in Dodd or Schuster, and not Soroka, not Ian Anderson, not Bryce Elder. So, also got to wonder, Kyle Muller now is in Oakland, so he would have been a guy that could have really had a role there if he'd have stayed here. But that trade, again, is sort of coming back to get us in a few other places too, and that's one of the things I would like to have seen Muller have that chance to go in there as well and battle for that spot. So, okay, so that's the spring training rundown. Again, don't put a lot in the Braves record at this point in time. They are just out there now trying to get guys ready and trying to see who's going to step up in what role. And at shortstop, it's happening. And starting pitching role, it seems to be happening in that fifth spot now. Guys getting healthy. Worried about Rosario. Worried about Ozuna, although he's played pretty well in the spring. Matt Olson winning the prize right now for being the hottest guy and killing it. So hopefully Matt keeps that going and keeps the breakout in spring training into the opening day and first of the year. So let's talk about the World Baseball Classic a second. So two big injuries have happened in the WBC. The first was Freddie Freeman pulled a hammy and had to go home back to the Dodgers from Team Canada. So that was a bad thing. They think Freddie's going to be fine for the start of the season, but it was a setback. And then the catastrophic situation for Puerto Rico and star closer Edwin Diaz of the Mets, who had just signed a longer-term deal worth about $100 million. He was celebrating after a win for Puerto Rico and tore his knee to pieces and now has to have surgery. He's going to miss 8 to 9 months. So we know the Braves didn't want Acuna to go to Venezuela and play or play for Venezuela, not to Venezuela, but play for that team. So far, so good for Ronald as far as the injury bug. But man, oh man, the WBC is cool. I like it. I like the camaraderie. I like the team unity for the countries. I really do. Does this make any sense, though, folks? I mean, I just wonder, shouldn't we do this a different way or a different time? Because these guys are out here and coming down with injuries early in the year. They're not really ready to go. They're not stretched out. The pitchers aren't. The hitters are not really out there loose the way they should be yet. So, again, I like the concept. But if one of our guys gets hurt for the Braves, I'm going to be really upset, especially if it's a guy like Ronald Acuna, who we've waited for about a year and a half to get right. And I think he is going to be right this year, barring some other injury to happen. But you kind of hold your breath every time Team Venezuela plays, or at least I do. And by the way, they're going to play the USA in a couple days now, I think, in a quarterfinal game. So it'll be fun to watch that and see Ronald against Team USA. But, not a Mets fan as a Braves fan, but I got to hate it. And got my hat goes my, or my heart goes out to Diaz and what happened to him in that situation where he was the celebration after the game and ended up injured. So tragic stuff. Again, WBC is one of these things. Maybe baseball is just doing too many new things, too many new rules. So you got to kind of wonder about this at this point in time. So speaking of new rules, let's talk about the new rules, which include three things. The shift, so we're banning the shift, having rules about where infielders have to stand. The bases are bigger. And then the pitch clock out there. So let me just comment on all three of these things first. But first one, generic comment. Leave baseball alone. Don't change the greatest game ever invented. Baseball has been a great game for years, hundreds of years now. And I say 800 years now for sure. Those of us who love baseball just as it is. We're really trying to figure out a way to make folks who don't like baseball and screw it up for everybody else. That's kind of my take on this whole deal, okay? Let's analyze these three rules real quick, though, and talk about them in order. So, the shift. I'm a fan of limiting the shift. I think, you know, by moving folks around, using the metrics we use, we've hurt the offense of a lot of teams. The Braves were affected by this last year. I think Austin Riley and Matt Olson in particular will be a lot better this year, or some better based on the lack of the shift. So I'm good with this rule. I think that's a rule that really isn't a change. We're kind of taking it back to the way it was. You had to play second base in the second base hole. You had to play short in the short hole. That, to me, is not a change. That is reverting back to what happened. The change was when we had the shifting going on, we changed the game. Now we fixed the game in my mind for that. So that's a good thing. The bases, the bigger bases. You know, this one kind of like to me is whatever. They're not that much bigger. Do they cause us to have a little less space between first and second, second and third? Sure. Is there a bigger place to slide into and grab? Sure. Will it help the base runners? Probably so. The limited pickoffs, I'm kind of okay with that too. I mean, I don't really care that much about the pickoffs. I mean, I love baseball for the sport and the strategy. So the longer it goes, kind of the happier I am. I want to watch baseball, so I don't mind it going long. I don't have a big problem with the pickoff and the base thing. But the pitch clock. Can I just say this is ridiculous? Ridiculous. We're making this an umpire show. And if you watch the Braves' first spring training game televised of the year on TV, I think it was MLB Network, the game ended on a batter for the Braves, basically not looking up, and they called him out. He was in the box, ready to hit. The pitcher hadn't pitched yet. He didn't look up, and they called the batter out. We cannot have games ending and affected like this. You're also going to see pitchers having to rush, making wild pitches, maybe hitting batters in my mind because they're not ready to pitch yet. It's just a crazy notion that's going to save maybe 10 minutes a game. I just don't get it. I don't think it's right, and I'm not a fan of it whatsoever. We've now got seemingly the extra inning rules sticking here with the ghost runner on second and extra innings, which I wasn't a fan of, and I'm still not. We're just changing this game so much, folks. And at some point in time, all these newer people in the game that want to fix the game have to leave it alone for the ones that love the game. And I think that's just becoming a problem. And I've said what I said. That's my take on it. And we'll see what happens. So I want to revisit the Sean Murphy thing again, the trade. And I've sat on this trade now for a couple of months after commenting about how much I hated it. I haven't changed my mind. I still don't like the trade at all. Nothing personal with Sean Murphy. I think he'll be a good player for us. I like him a lot. You know, we gave up a lot of players. In particular, two of my favorites, Kyle Muller and William Contreras, who was one of my favorite hitters we had. And we did not fill any needs. We already had one of the best catching, maybe the best catch situation in baseball, arguably, but certainly in a top five situation with Travis d'Arnaud and William Contreras. We had youth in Contreras. We had very little money being spent on Contreras. Now we've got Murphy, who we did sign long-term, but we did pay him a lot more than Contreras was going to be making. So we didn't make ourselves our payroll any better off. We made it worse off. And we lost hitting, in my mind, because I'm not convinced that Sean Murphy is a above-average hitter. Can he be effective with extra base hits and power? Yes. Can he hit for average? I don't know that he can. I haven't seen it yet in his career. So is he a great thrower? Absolutely. Is a good defender? Yes. Does he call a good game? From all I can tell, he absolutely does. But Contreras could have taken that DH spot, been a middle-of-the-order hitter for us for years to come. I think he will be for Milwaukee, which he'll now hurt us in the National League. Contreras was fun, man. He drew people to watch this team. He was a nasty hitter up there. made a lot of good things happen, and I am sorely going to miss William Contreras. I hope for Alex's sake and the Braves' sake, Sean Murphy pans out to be what they think he is. Because if he doesn't, this trade will haunt us for quite some time. Now, to the lineup. Our lineup is worse with Sean Murphy. And with Sean Murphy in there and no William Contreras, we got a lot worse. Contreras was a middle-of-the-order guy. We're going to bat Murphy there, I think, for sure, fourth or fifth. But consistency, I don't think we're going to be as good as we were in the past. At the end of last year, Contreras was one of our best hitters. He's very consistent. He hit the ball hard, hit the ball for extra base power, was really good. We didn't have a lot from guys down the stretch like Olsen and Riley, who had been good. Riley had been hot all year and went really cold. Acuna wasn't himself yet. We need consistency in the lineup, and we've lost it by trading the bat of Contreras and adding the bat of Murphy. Now, I want to be proven wrong. I hope Sean Murphy hits 300 with 30 homers this year and wins a gold glove. I could see the gold glove. I don't know that I'm going to see the offense with this team. On the flip side of this, and then you take Dansby out, who might have been our most consistent hitter, and you add a great young prospect who I love, Vaughn Grissom, but that's not going to make our lineup better short term for sure. And then you've got Ozuna and Rosario in that lineup probably somewhere. We got a lot of holes in that order that we got to deal with, and I'm very worried we're not going to score enough runs. Or if we do, it's going to be inconsistent. We're going to be 10 runs a game one game and be shut out or get one run the next game is my concern because we don't have that consistency in the lineup. Now, the one positive I'll bring back with this is Chipper Jones is back with his team, and I think Chipper Jones has shown us what he can do for guys like Austin Riley and Dansby Swanson, who Dansby is with the Cubs now. But if Chipper works with Vaughn Grissom, with Austin Riley again, with other guys like maybe I don't know about the Zuna if he'll work with them or not, but Olsen, the young guys for sure, I could see them getting better and improving more and more and more with Chipper back on this team. So my last thing I want to talk about and end with, probably on a bad note, is the Bally Sports mess. Those of you that live in the district of the Braves or in the area, they're my local team. I live in Mississippi. Bally Sports is our provider. So a couple things with Bally Sports we need to know about, and you probably already know. They used to be Fox Sports Net. Bally bought them out, had it a couple years now. We have two networks here, Bally South and Bally Sports South. So there's that. Lately, they're only on DirecTV and AT&T. Everyone else dropped them. I'm told maybe Fubo TV just picked them back up. But not a lot of service providers carry Bally at this point in time. We heard rumors of Bally doing the app. They have an app that you can use with your TV login. But we heard rumors of them doing a pay-per-subscription thing for that app. That has not happened with the Braves in baseball. I think NBA it did happen, but not the Braves. Now Bally is going bankrupt. So at this point in time, we're still being told Bally's going to broadcast Braves games from a bankrupt situation, which I'm not sure how that works. But MLB is prepared now to step into the 7 or 8 or 10 teams that Bally has rights to if they fold under and do MLB broadcast that will be available to these teams. So Bally Sports, we need you to figure this out, folks. You know, the baseball contracts we have and the way to watch baseball has become harder and harder. I pay a lot for TV just to get Bally Sports on DirecTV. I don't watch a ton of TV other than the Braves and some movie subscription services that I have. So something needs to happen here. Something needs to get done. As we know, the MLB app is great, but it blacks out your local team, which is the Braves for me. So the local service we've got to have here is the only way folks in our state, in Mississippi, Georgia, Tennessee, the surrounding areas here, Alabama, can watch the Braves, and that has to be Bally Sports. So we'll kind of keep our eyes on that one, see what happens going forth. But that is where we are with the Braves broadcast for this year. I will also mention Chip Carey leaving the Braves and going to the Cardinals, which was kind of a shock. Chip is from St. Louis. I think his home is there. So that is, I'm sure, the reason for that. I did see Tom Glavine's now back with the Braves. And the Braves did hire a new broadcaster whose name I forget. I think he's good. He's been with Georgia Tech, University of Georgia Tech. And he's also the voice of John Madden or Madden Football. So I think that'll be fine. I look forward to hearing this gentleman call these games. The Braves' spring training TV schedule has not been very big yet. We haven't heard many to any Braves broadcast. There may have been one yesterday, but I didn't notice who was calling that game. I had something else going on. My daughter's birthday party was happening here, and I kind of had it on in the background. But Braves have not been on TV a lot. I think they're televised again on Wednesday on Bally Sports, so we'll see from there what we hear and see with this broadcast. Spring training going forth, interesting to watch. A couple of battles, shortstop, Grissom, Shoemake, Arcia. The fifth spot we mentioned, probably down to Dodd and Schuster. Maybe the outfield spots out there I mentioned with the younger guys versus Ozuna and Rosario. So keep your eyes on the spring training battles. Looking forward to a season for the Braves, hopefully a great season for the Braves. Have some concerns, but very excited for this team as well. Have a great week. Let's go, Braves.